Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Al Mussel, the research lead with AgriFood Economic Systems. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Mussel.
Well, thanks for having me, Bruce.
AgriFood Economic Systems has released an independent AgriFood policy note which looks at the new trade economy of food security, repositioning Canada. First of all, how has the COVID-19 pandemic altered global food production, processing, and distribution dynamics? What are the implications for various regions, and how do those implications vary, and why?
Well, first, Bruce, I think in Canada, we're still very much in kind of the emergency response and management phase of this COVID-19 crisis. So, on the meatpacking and livestock side, we've got various emergencies that we're juggling in terms of the cattle and beef chain, swine and pork chain, et cetera. The reason that we wanted to write this policy note was to acknowledge that there's kind of a bigger game going on, which is internationally, as various countries are afflicted by COVID-19. Some countries that are traditional exporters have begun to enact various types of prohibitions on exports, whether it's quotas or taxes or what have you. And we wanted to start thinking about what the implication of that was for Canada and what its significance was in terms of keeping the capacity in place to be able to export through this crisis. And, what you find is it almost doesn't matter what commodity you look at. You look at grains, you look at beef, you look at pork. There's really only a handful of countries that really have material capacity to export beyond what they need to feed their own people. And Canada is in that group. And I think it underlies the importance of Canada being able to keep that export capacity in place as we navigate through this COVID-19 crisis.
What are the key challenges facing the Canadian food production and processing chain at this point? What are the possible key risks, and what are the potential key rewards as a result of all of this?
Yeah, well, let me start with the key reward. Maybe there are a number of countries, and we document this in our paper, and there's a variety of ways to measure this. We pick what we think is probably the most tangible way, but there are others. There's a lot of countries that are highly food insecure, rich countries, but still, if you look at their balance in terms of the food they produce relative to their demands, they absolutely need to import very high volumes of food. And if we can maintain our export supply chains in place and be able to supply those markets when other people are backing away, that trust and that position that we earn as a result, I think, could be very valuable. The reason that this is very important for Canada is in really a pretty short period of time, as a small country, we've gone from having the rules-based trade environment to protect our market access into a world in which that's very much eroded, and the larger countries are reshaping the international trade environment for their own benefit. So really, one of the only ways that we have of escaping that dynamic as a small country is to try and forge lasting relationships with countries that are food insecure and have money to pay for food. It sort of allows us to step out of that environment with the big countries.
How will Canadian agriculture, Canadian agricultural policy need to reposition to address these potential opportunities, and why?
Well, I think the first thing, Bruce, is we need to be able to assess, what do we bring to the table? And some of these things are obvious, and we document them in the paper. Pork, beef, wheat, canola, a range of pulse crops, and there are other products as well. These are things that we produce very efficiently, far beyond our own needs, and we do it very sustainably. Where are the key markets that we could look for that are going to be dependent on imports of some of those staples? Can we forge relationships with them that that make us the anchor supplier? We don't get into competition from, or avoid to the extent that we can, competition from other countries that would like to undercut us on price, and do all this in a WTO compliant manner. Those are some of the questions that I think we need to pose, because frankly, I guess just another sort of indication in another tranche of funding announced by the U.S. government, I believe there's something along the lines of $10 billion going out in farm payments, in addition to the $9.5 billion that was announced in the $2 trillion big bailout package about a week and a half ago. I think this is just, the evidence is compounding that this kind of action by bigger countries is just going to chip away at Canada. And we can't play that game. We have to find a way to change the channel on it. And one way to do that is to try and forge bilateral relationships of one sort or another for agri-food that can secure us a market and get out of this sort of subsidy game and commodity agriculture.
What are the key challenges faced by Canada in accomplishing this readjustment?
Well, one of the clear challenges, I guess, is it's a very competitive environment. So if we can find a way to build alliances with other countries that have different food security needs than our own, we're going to face competition from others. We need to find a way to somehow or other address that. We're going to need investments in food processing that complement what we can do in terms of efficiency and sustainably producing the farm products. And we're going to have to find a way to do it within a WTO manner, or we'll otherwise have to be guided by how the WTO evolves over time.
How important is timing at this stage, and why?
Well, timing's probably pretty important. I suspect that we have a fairly narrow window to operate in which we can, not that this is going to sound cynical, and I don't mean it that way, that we can leverage this crisis with countries who must be very concerned when they hear that Russia is prepared to limit grain exports. Kazakhstan wants to limit exports of wheat products, and I believe also wheat. That must be, to a country like Japan or South Korea, those announcements must be very concerning. There's probably a limited period of time in which we can approach perhaps places like that and raise the issue of, well, look, maybe we can forge an arrangement in which we could be the anchor supplier because we have a volume of staple products that is relevant to their demand in their marketplace. Perhaps enlist some other assistance in getting the kind of investment we need in food processing so that we're not just shipping the raw farm products, some of that value adding activities occurring in Canada. At some point, the crisis that we're in, hopefully it's not very long. Maybe it could be years. We don't know yet. But at some point, this will sort of abate, and then some of the urgency will come off. I think the time to act on this is now or relatively soon, so that we can get to those countries that need to import food and approach them as the trusted supplier.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Well, I think it's taking its time, Bruce, to understand that, first, a lot of what we do in domestic agricultural policy in Canada is predicated on a stable and known trade environment, which you know, over the last 25 years, we've been a great beneficiary of. Once that starts to unravel, and we have clear signs that it is, we run the risk that our domestic ag policy could similarly unravel into differences across commodities, differences across provinces, difficulties managing a budget for the various aspects of agricultural policy. If trade is changing, Canada needs to change, and domestic policy will need to align behind that. And I feel today as though we've got a heck of a lot of work to do. And this has all changed really very suddenly.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for having me, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Al Mussel, the research lead with AgriFood Economic Systems. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.